from God, or you under the wrath of God. But whereas when I say they are totally under the what? The wrath of God. I is totally under the righteousness of God, brother and sister. The more you spend time on the book of Romans, it's only 16 chapters, but it's very, very precious. The more you read about that, the more you have insight into how Paul explained the gospel of God to us. Okay, let's take a look at that. Because I gone through it last week, so I go through it quickly and to prove the points, if I look at it from chapter 1 and chapter 2 at the same time. Listen to me how I read that. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Write the word, I is a servant of Christ Jesus. I is the one who served God. Called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. He know that a lot of things he can do, but he choose to do God's will. Don't do anything else. Verse 2. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David. And who, listen to me, I didn't make the changes. Who, as to his divine nature, as to his spirit, the Son of God, was appointed to be the, Jesus Christ was appointed to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, you see the word, we. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. So I want to stop here to make a little bit more distinction in here. Remember that the righteousness of God and the right side, the wrath of God in the left-hand side. And then right beside, right within the you, I divide it into two parts. Make sure that we are on the right side. So you write down number one, number two, and number three. Number one is 1:5. We are called to the obedience that come from faith. The key word is obedience. Obedience. Number two is 1:6. We are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. Number 3:17. We are called to be holy people, called to be saints. We are not wicked people anymore. Make sure that you are divided into two parts. And that's the decision we have to make when we read the book of Romans. Now, the latter part of verse 7. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who stands on the right side will receive grace and peace, not only from the Heavenly Father, also from Jesus Christ. Verse 8. First, I then, circle the word I, so that's why I say on the right side is I. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Why is for all of you? Because you are the one, 1:5, called to the obedience that come from faith. You're called to belong to Jesus Christ. You're called to be saint. So that's why I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. And you have faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's why I thank God that you believe in Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God, whom I serve, circle the word, I serve. You mentioned it again. First of all, in 1:1, he say, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. Now I serve God with my whole heart. In preaching the gospel of his son, God is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayer at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. What's the reason why I want to come to you? I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That means the one on the right side is strong. Make sure that you are not in the left side that is weak. To make you strong, that is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brother, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I may have harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. The reason why Paul wanted to come to them, Paul wanted to reap the harvest, want to collect fruits from the saints, from those who belong to Jesus Christ, from those who are called to the obedience that come from faith, that come from faith. Verse 14, and I'm obligated both to Greek and non-Greek, both to the wise and the foolish. And that is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. And then verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Make sure they're put on the right side. All those people is the one who believes, who have faith in Jesus. First for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. Verse 17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. What's the reason why Paul say that, just as it is written? What Paul trying to say is, what I'm saying to you, what I'm declaring to you, may be new to you in your ear, but what I'm saying to you has been proclaimed by the prophet Habakkuk. Okay? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, he say the same thing. The righteous will live by faith. And Paul saying that, in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed not only in the New Testament, in fact, has already been revealed in the Old Testament by Habakkuk. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, from chapter 1, or 1 to 17, is on the right side. Now, starting in chapter 1, 18, all the way to 32 is day. Now take a look at that. Verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men. So the reason why the wrath of God will fall upon them I want to extend that into here. That's the wrath of God. Who are they? They are the wicked people. They are godlessness. They have no God in their heart. They don't believe in God, okay? The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men. And what else Paul described them? Who are they? They suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. Have they heard about the truth? Have they heard about the gospel? Definitely. But they say, I don't believe in it. They suppress it. Okay? Why they suppress it? Because they think that by suppressing it, then I won't be judged. Okay? Who suppressed the truth? By their wickedness. Verse 19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. In other words, if they are willing to be moved by what they hear, instead of suppressing the truth, let the truth speaking to their own heart, they will know who God is, because God revealed to him, revealed to them. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible quality, what are God's invisible quality? Two things. The first thing is his eternal power. Second thing is his divine nature. I strongly believe that the first chapter of the book of Romans has been read by another apostle called Apostle Peter. I put it to you. I prove it to you. Will you please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter talking about two things. The first thing is divine power. That is what Paul say, eternal power. The second thing is divine nature. I read that to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Verse 4. Through this he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through him you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. Peter talk about two things regarding God. His attribute. His invisible quality. First, verse 3, his divine power. Paul called that eternal power. Secondly, Peter talked about divine nature. That is God nature. Now go back. Verse 20, chapter 1, Romans. For since the creations of the world, God's invisible quality, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Now, I want you to write that down right under they and them. There, they always make all kinds of excuse. Listen to me very carefully. The difference between two kings. The first king is King Saul. The second king is King David. Both of them sins against God. But when different prophets approach, let's say Samuel approach King Saul, and King Saul make all kind of excuse, instead of say, yes, I am the sinner. You are right. I am wrong. But whereas Nathan, the prophet, approached to King David after he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and King David say, yes, I sinned against God, and I sinned against man. Give no excuse. Do you see a difference? If you choose to follow David, you are on the right-hand side. And righteousness from God will come upon you. If you choose to make all kind of excuse and suppress the truth, ignore the truth, You follow the very footstep of the first king, King Saul. You know that. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, at the end, he sees false God and he goes to hell because he gives all kinds of excuses. When you are wrong, you just confess, you are right, I'm wrong. Does it make sense? You don't suppress the truth. Okay? You believe in the truth. Now, go. Verse 21. For although they knew God, don't ever think the one on the left-hand side, the wrath of God come upon them. Don't ever think they don't know God. Paul said that they know God. Have they heard about the gospel? They heard. But they suppressed. I said, I don't buy that. I don't believe in it. Okay? They heard about the truth. They make all kinds of excuses. Okay? Although they knew God, they neither glorify Him as God or give thanks to Him. So, you see, the wrath of God comes upon those, they don't give glory to God. They give glory to themselves. But on the right side, they give glory to God. On top of that, they thank God all the time. Okay? Now, take a look. So, what about the one on the right side? But their thinking became futile, and their foolish heart were darkened. The more they suppress the truth, the more they give excuse, the more they don't give thanks to God, the more they don't glorify God, the more they don't understand the scripture. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animal and reptile. When they claimed to be wise, but in fact, they become foolish. They're not wise. They are fools because they change the glory of the immortal God for the immortal man, immortal bird, immortal animal, immortal reptile. And that's what they have exchanged. The word exchange, that means I sell them. I don't want the immortal God. I want the mortal man. The Bible say, Proverbs chapter 23:23. Buy the truth. Don't sell it. You suppress the truth, you sell it. Buy wisdom. Buy knowledge. Buy understanding. That is what you should buy. Don't exchange for lower product. Okay? Make sure you get the best stuff. Buy the truth, do not sell the truth. Get wisdom, get discipline, and get understanding. You know what? The wrath of God come upon those who sell the truth, who suppress the truth, who give all kind of excuse to God and say that, I don't believe. There's a reason for that I don't believe. Oh, come on, man, give me a break. No reason not to believe in God, because He make it plain to you. He make it plain to you. He reveal it to you. You know that the wrath of God come upon all those godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desire of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their body with one another. You see the word them, their heart. Verse 25, they exchange the truth of God for a lie. They sell the truth they buy the lion. And they worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. In here, Paul says that I am the servant of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Creator. I serve the Creator. Where is the wrath of God come upon the godlessness and those who suppress the truth? They worship, they serve. Who do they serve? Created being. Animal, bird, mortal man. They believe in lie. They don't believe in the truth. Oh, I come from China. You know, we are atheists. You know, there's no God. Come on, you know that. You know that there's God. Because the Bible says that you know. I reveal it to you. You look at heaven. It's so wonderfully made. Who made that? Who created that? It's so powerful, so awesome. People don't think that. Oh, they give all kinds of excuses. Oh, I come from China, so I don't believe in that. You know what? They come from China, but they love to go to Canada and U.S. Why? You know what I mean? In this aspect, they know, right? But in another aspect, they suppress the truth. When you see Jesus Christ, you will be in deep, deep trouble. All right? Now, keep going. Verse 26, because of this, God gave them over second time. Okay, the first time is verse 24, God gave them over in the sinful desire of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their body with one another. Then they're getting worse. It's a spiral. They keep going down. Eventually, they go to hell. Verse 26, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. And in the same way, the man also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Man committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. You keep doing what you're doing, eventually God gave you over to shameful lust. Is that what you want to do? He allow you to do it. At the end of the day, he will judge you. Do you remember before Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto, he get caught to smoke cocaine? Remember that? I don't smoke cocaine. And later on when he get caught with the video, yes, I smoke cocaine when I'm stupid. When I get drunk, that's the excuse. You understand what I'm trying to say? What happened to him now at the age of 46? He's a young man. He's a wealthy family. He destroyed his own life. You say there's no God? There's God. He was judged. Don't give excuse. You say, yes, you are right. I'm wicked people. So help me God. Then you'll be saved. Okay? You want to give excuse? You go ahead. Keep going. Once the first step, you make a decision, you exchange, verse 23, the glory of immortal God for the shameful image made by man, like mortal man, mortal bird, mortal animal, and mortal reptile. You exchange for this kind of stuff, and God give you over. Second thing, God give you over to the shameful lust. That's why there's a lesbian and homosexual people. You want to do that? You go ahead. Verse 28, the third thing, the third time, exchange it, okay? Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind I want you to circle the verse 28. In verse 28, chapter 1, verse 28, first of all, it's 24, second is 20, 26, now it's 28. The wicked people, the godless people, the people who suppress the truth, they make up their mind, I don't buy the truth, I sell the truth. So in their mind, they don't think it's worthwhile to memorize God's word. They don't want to be filled with the word of the Lord. They think it's useless to remember God's word. I read that one more time. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. I want you to circle the word, retain the knowledge of God. Go back to verse 21. For although they knew God, they heard about God, they know the truth. But with their knowledge, they think they're smarter than God. They say, I don't buy that. Right? They choose to believe in what your teachers say instead of what the Bible says. Oh, they are scientists. They are wise men. No, they become futile in their thinking. They are foolish. People don't even know the reason why all over the world they love to come to U.S. and come to Canada, because this nation was founded by the forefather of those people who are Puritan. Because of their belief in Europe, they get persecution. They find a new place to stay. Once they come to North America, they establish the nation with the truth, with the word of God. That's why in American dollar, at the back, you see that in God we trust. We don't suppress the truth. But the descendant, after a few generations, because as a father, as a parent, as a mother, they don't pass the truth to their children. So their children, they don't know who God is. Brother and sister, if you think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God within your mind, you are not on the left-hand side. The wrath of God will not come upon you. You stand on the right-hand side. The righteousness from God will come upon you. Does that make sense? Make sure, right beside 128, you write down Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20 to 21. Those people who repent, Jesus Christ will come into those repentant heart. And then in verse 21, Jesus Christ will make a new covenant with them. And then Jesus said, the word that I give it to you, the Holy Spirit that I give it to you, do not depart from your mouth. Do not depart from the mouth of your children. Do not depart from the mouth of your children's children from now until eternity. You write that down. Make sure that you retain the knowledge of God in your heart, in your mind. Not only in your heart, in your mind, also in your children after you. From now until what? Eternity. Then you will be sure you stand on the right-hand side. You're not standing on the left-hand side. Does it make sense? That is how God makes a new covenant with you. Okay, keep going. If they don't think that it is good to retain the knowledge, if they don't think it's worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, if your mind don't have good stuff, then your mind is filled with what? Filthiness, wickedness, and then Satan can come into your heart. And you are totally controlled by the evil spirit. I want you to write that down, right beside chapter 1, verse 28 all the way to 32, you write that down. 1, 28 all the way to 32, you write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. If you are so filled with all this wicked thing, then you are totally controlled by the evil spirit. Because the evil spirit can only control those who are disobedient. So you write that down. The reason why the wrath of God come upon them, because they are disobedient. The reason why the righteousness come upon you, because you are obedient. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin in which you used to live when you followed the way of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit, that's the evil spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You are so filled with this filthy stuff, God give you over. Let you do what you want to do. At the end of the day, you'll be judged. Now, let me read that to you. Verse 28, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. If you know, if you have the word of God within your heart, you know what you should do, you know what you should not do. You know that because he revealed it to you. You follow that, you will get blessing. You disobey that, you pay for it. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, brother and sister. Verse 28, supposed to be filled with the knowledge of God. You don't want to be filled with the knowledge of God, then you have become filled with every kind of wickedness. You have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, and they are full of envy. Because you are not full of love, then you'll be full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderer, God-hater, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent way of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Finally, Paul says something. Although they know God's righteousness. I want you to write that down. Number one, verse 21, although they know God. Number two, verse 28, they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Number three, although they know God's righteous degree, don't ever say that they don't know. They know that. They suppress it. Right? Hello? Am I right? Wow, it's eye-opener. I thought they don't know, but God said they know. Oh, wow. If you know, then you have no excuse, right? You just suppress it, okay? It's right within your heart. You know what's right, what's wrong. You know what? Before the robber get caught, you know, he walked like that, you know? But when he get caught, did he walk like that? Look at my face. I'm who I am. He covered his face, right? He know that it's bad, right? He didn't want people to recognize his face. They know. They know what's good, what's wrong. Right? Come on, they know that. Okay? Yesterday, I visited a senior lady in Chinatown. And she tell me a story. She said it's a true story. When she is around 60 some odd years old, she get mocked, she get robbed. You know, say, give me all your money. So I say, here's the left hand side is my watch, right hand side is my purse. And then the robber take all the money. The lady say, could you leave some for my bus fare? The robber leave her some change, okay? So that she can go home. And then, a month later, the same robber. But this time, she more or less used up all her money to buy the stuff. And they say, wow, I get all the stuff here. I don't have much money, you know? And then the robber take the rest, but little money. And the third time, she walked in the street a month later. She see the robber.
And Robert nod at her, and she should look back to her and say hello. Ever since then, the robber say, now you recognize me? I leave you alone. Don't you know that? That's wrong. Don't ever say to me the wicked people doesn't know God. They know God. They also know God's righteous decree. Anyone who commits wickedness, God will judge you. Don't ever tell me you don't know. You know. You just suppress it. Let me keep reading it. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such thing deserve death, they not only continue to do this very thing, but they also approve of others who practice them. Unfortunately, that is the downfall of North America. I mean North America, including Canada and U.S. When the people who commit sexual acts, they glorify it in such a way, they let them do it and encourage other people to do it. You keep doing it, God will judge you. And now, they don't honor the Christian, they don't do it. They honor the homosexual people. You say, you got to accept them as if they are holy people. Don't say any bad thing about them. That means let them go to hell. Anyone who say any bad thing, probably, especially politician or entertainer, has to acknowledge they make a mistake, they won't do it anymore. Because they get sponsorship from all the big corporations. The big corporations are following the flow of the world. They depress the truth. They suppress the truth. Now people don't even know what's right, what's wrong. You know, eventually God gonna judge you. Don't ever practice this kind of wicked thing. Secondly, don't ever approve this kind of thing. Now I talk about we, servants of God, we serve God. And then I talk about they, them, their, they serve created being instead of creator. They suppress the truth. They don't believe in the truth. They disobey. They are not filled with the Holy Spirit. They filled with the evil spirit. Now I talk about you. All right? Chapter 2. Listen to me how I read it. Circle the word you. You therefore have no excuse. Anyone who make excuse is stand on the side of they. They make excuse. The righteous people don't make excuse. You, right beside you, you write down 1:5, 1:6, 1:7. You are supposed to be called to the obedience that come from faith. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You are called to be the same. And then you write down 1:5, 1:6, 1:7, and 1:8. You, who are you? You are the one who have faith in Jesus Christ. When you call yourself to have faith in Jesus Christ, don't ever make any more excuse. Don't follow the footsteps of 120. They make all kind of excuse. Don't follow them. Follow David. When people confront you with your wickedness, you confess your sins. Don't make excuse. You therefore have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do
the same thing. In other words, do you remember what did I do? I write on the right-hand side is the righteousness from God, and then on the left-hand side is the wrath from God. Is there, in chapter 1, we can see these two distinctions. But whereas in when I look at chapter 1 and chapter 2 at the same time, I divided I on the right side, you on either the righteous on the right or the wickedness on the left, the wrath of God on the left, and then they on the far left. So chapter 2 is you. You make a decision. You want to follow the servant of God, Paul, or you want to follow the godlessness of God, the godlessness of the wicked people. Okay? Sometimes, you know, we think that we are teaching Sunday school. Sometimes pastor thinking that they're teaching God's word. They are spared from the judgment of God. That's wrong. I don't care who you are. I don't care whether you are a teacher of the word of God or you are the student of the word of God. You have to make a decision. When you pass judgment on the other, you are fall into the same kind of judgment if you do the same thing. So in other words, what chapter 2 is trying to say, if you think the righteousness of God come upon you, then you better follow the very footstep of Apostle Paul. Start serving God. Right? By judging other people doesn't spare you from being judged by God. All right? By judging other people doesn't spare you from being judged by God. What spare you from being judged by God? You don't do this kind of thing anymore. Does it make sense? You confess your sin. Yeah, I am the wicked people. I was like that. Now I choose to follow Jesus. Does it make sense? Okay? That's the decision that we have to make. Okay? Don't say, oh, I'm a Sunday school teacher and I will spare from that. I'm a daughter of a pastor. But doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are. When you judge other people and you commit the same kind of sin, you judge other people, you will be judged. Okay? Now, verse 2. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing, you write that down, chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. Do this kind of wicked thing, okay? If you keep on doing this kind of wicked thing, eventually, God's judgment is based on the truth, okay? The truth is, he will judge you based on what you have done. Verse 3. So when you, a mere man, you are not a judge. You are just a mere man. You are just a Sunday school teacher. You are just a pastor. You are just a Christian. You are a mere man. If you pass judgment on them. Okay, now, don't judge them. Why? Because Paul said that at one point in time, we were like them. By judging them, doesn't spare you from being judged in the future. By not following them, by not doing what they do, that spare you from judgment. Okay? I read that one more time in verse 2. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing is based on the truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same thing, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Definitely not. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, patience, not realizing that God's kindness lead you towards repentance? The reason why God hasn't judged us yet, because he gave us time to turn around and repent and to be saved. Remember what I say? That make you fall either under the righteousness of God or fall under the wrath of God. It depends what you do. Now verse 5. But because of your stubbornness,
and your unrepentant heart. I want you to write that down. Your stubbornness, who is your? Your is 1:5, 1:6, 1:7, and 1:8. You have faith in Jesus. You are called to the obedience that comes from faith. You call to belong to Jesus Christ. You call to be saint, but still have unrepentant heart. You have to know that. Everybody say? Do you see what I see now? Verse 5, because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. In other words, the wrath of God not only come upon all those godlessness people and the wickedness of men who suppress the truth, also fall upon the so-called Christian, so-called who have faith in Jesus, but their heart are stubbornness. And they have unrepentant heart. And you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath. When I hear that, when I see that, I say, oh, help me, God. I want to change. I want to turn around and change. When his righteous judgment will be revealed, at that time, God's wrath will fall upon you. In the meantime, he gives you time to turn around and repent. Verse 6, God will give to each man according to what he has done. Right beside 1, right beside 2:6, you write down 2:2. For we know that God's judgment against those who do such thing, God's judgment is based on truth. God's judgment not only based on truth, and God will give to each person according to what he has done. Verse 7. To those who, by persisting in doing good, to those who seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality, he will give eternal life. Who receive eternal life is the one who, by persisting in doing good. I realize it. When I disobey God, I fall into the category of they, them, and there. I say, no way. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to make a decision by persisting in doing good. From this day on, I choose to be worthwhile to memorize God's word. I choose to depart from the wicked people. I'm afraid that God give me over and allow me to do things. And then eventually, just like God allowed King Saul to persecute David, at the end of the day, he go to hell. Lord, save me from that. I don't want it. I want to turn around. Verse 7, to those who by persisting in doing good, they are the one who seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality, God will give eternal life to them. Verse 8, but for those who are self-seeking, you know what I mean, self-seeking? One is seeking glory, honor, immortality from God. One is self-seeking. They love to do their own thing. Because if you don't have the word of God within your mind, if you don't think it's worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, your mind is so filled with wicked things. Then you're gonna keep doing what you like to do. And you still think that it's right. Because I haven't get caught yet. If I haven't get caught, that means so far so good. No, it's not so far so good. Because you don't know when the calamity comes. You don't know that. When it comes, you'll be in deep trouble. Okay, keep going. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth, take a look at them, who are under the category of the wrath of God. They suppress the truth. They reject the truth. They're self-seeking. They're not seeking God. They're not seeking God glory, not seeking God honor, not seeking immortality. They exchange immortal God for mortal man. They, instead of worshiping Creator, they worship Creator. I'm sorry. They instead of worshiping Creator, they worship Creator being. They reject the truth and follow evil instead of follow the truth. There will be wrath and anger. Brother and sister,
purposely, I put you is 50-50, right under the righteousness of God and the wrath of God. Because that's the decision we have to make. Which way do we choose? Okay? Verse 9, there will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. For God does not show favoritism. Brother and sister, I want you to write that down right beside here. Chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. Because God doesn't show favoritism, that means He don't care whether you have faith in Jesus or you have no faith in Jesus. If you suppress the truth, you claim that you have faith in Jesus, but you suppress the truth. You claim that you belong to Jesus Christ. You claim that you have the obedience that come from faith, and yet you suppress the truth, reject the truth, you follow the wicked deed, you do the wicked thing. And God say, I'm going to judge you based upon the truth, and I'm going to judge you based upon what you have done. And if you truly understand this chapter 1 and chapter 2 at the same time, all of a sudden, you understand what I'm trying to say. I read that to you in conclusion. Ephesians, the first part, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, called part 1, and then part 2. Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says very clearly, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Salvation, not from yourself. Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation's not by work so that no one can boast. But after you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, chapter 2, verse 10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. Why do you have to do good work? If you don't do good work, you are self-seeking. You are seeking wicked things. Eventually, you'll be judged. The reason why Paul saying what he's saying, he didn't want his follower to be judged by God. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. Anyone who seeks glory, honor, immortality, anyone who do good work is seeking God, God going to reward you with riches and blessing. This good work, God prepared in advance for us to do. Our Heavenly Father, when we put all these Bibles, all these Bible verses together and put it in the big picture, we know what Paul trying to say to us. Now that we are saved, now that we are called to the obedience that come from faith, called to belong to Jesus Christ, call to be saint, to be a holy people, so help us God, we want to be holy all the way. We don't want to fall back and go back to the old root and be judged by you. For our Lord God is a just God. He doesn't show favoritism. When King David sins against you, you judge him until he confesses his sin, acknowledge his wickedness, and he turn around, and then you bless him. But whereas King Saul, when he was confronted by Samuel, he gave all kind of excuse. Lord, help us not to make any excuse. I don't care whether you are a pastor, your pastor daughter, or I don't care who you are. When you do wicked thing, he's going to judge you based upon the truth. He's going to judge you based upon what you have done. He's going to reward you based upon the good deed that you have done. Help us to remember that, O Lord. Have mercy on each and every one of us. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, thanks God.